I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty, booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to This Just In on Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Well, he has a colonoscopy tomorrow. Oh,
that's right. He was just regaling his last meal before the colonoscopy. And it was it two Big Macs, a McChicken, something else?
There's a milkshake in there.
It's disgusting.
Just got a text. He says, my Wi-Fi just went out. Fuck. So Wonga will join us when his Wi-Fi kicks back in. He could always do the old tether, right? Tether between his phone and his computer, as Craig used to. Anyways, Footy Prime. I'm Shams and Craig's here. Jimmy's here. Well, Jimmy was here. He just left.
He left.
JC's here. He literally starting the show. Now's the time to leave. What's he doing?
Don't know.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to put my computer up higher.
See if you can get more pot lights in the room.
Yeah, exactly. Just the six isn't enough. Mm. It's like you're in you're being like abducted by aliens and you're in some kind of laboratory on the ship.
Mm. Or the city of clouds probed. In Star Wars. Right?
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back.
You know, my favorite... You might still work that. Like, proceed and
get closer. Get closer.
I think my favorite thing from a referee, right? You know, when they give the hand up or they'll put their hands out. You know, their action. My favorite action from a referee is play on. You know, when they go like that, where their arms come out wide and they just go play on.
Yeah,
it's my favorite action, and I was doing that all day yesterday. What?
Why is it your favorite action?
Because I just like the way they do it.
Yeah,
you know, there's a tackle and everybody stops and the ref goes like that, his hands go wide and then they come together and it's like, play on.
It's usually pretty demonstrative, right?
I love it.
But speaking of referees, yesterday at my son's game, so he's bantam, so they allow some hitting, but they try to avoid kind of head-to-head or like open ice stuff. So it was pretty innocuous, but the kid was given a 5-minute major for charging. And you know what charging is in French?
What?
Assault.
Oh,
5 minutes pour assaut. I was like, what?
Asshole.
What did you call me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You mind your mouth.
We're right back to pot lighting.
Oh, I think Wonga's back. Hey, Jimmy, by the way, your mic's not turned on.
No, it's on.
No, it's not.
No. Okay. Well,
give it a scratch. Give it a scratch. Okay, no, it is. Okay, we'll just get it closer to you anyway.
Or turn it around. Yeah, turn it around.
Come on, Lando Calrissian, get your mic closer.
There we go. That's better. Why is it Jimmy does that? The mic check is always those deep, dark tones.
Hello.
You can't just speak
like a little Barry White.
Yeah. I was playing Barry White yesterday, actually.
Oh, nice.
Had some friends over and it came up and I is he dead? I wasn't sure. But anyway, we played him. God damn, he's good. He's so good.
Yeah.
And he's buried. Dead.
Buries history.
He's dead, yeah?
Very dead.
Okay. Yeah. That's too bad. Welcome back, Wonga. We've got lots to talk to today.
Don't be scared, Wonger.
It's going to be all right.
He's frozen again.
He has frozen again, hasn't he? Yeah. Yep.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. You'll be frozen tomorrow, hopefully, below the belt. Yeah. Especially old sausage fingers, Doc McTavish, or whatever his name is.
Yeah. A doctor that's 6'5".
Yeah. 3 meter fingers.
Dick McVicker.
He starts coughing. Wonga does. Because... anyway, enough of making fun of Wonga's colonoscopy tomorrow. He might get some bad results, so we shouldn't make fun of it. Hopefully not. Listen, big day today. Big day today. We'll get to the weekend that was, but later today, Kevin Blue is addressing the media for the first time. Canada Soccer's new general secretary and CEO. It's the first time that they've grouped those two jobs together, I believe. He'll be speaking this afternoon. We will have a special reaction pod VOD via our YouTube channel straight afterwards. Did you like that, Dubs? VOD?
No, I hated it.
No?
Would it be like much music all of a sudden?
Yeah.
VOD.
It's the only way we can get the teenage demographic. But yeah, we're gonna jump on YouTube shortly thereafter and then stick that up on our channel there. So make sure you check that out. We'll see what he has to say. But prior to that, of course, first in this morning, Nike have dropped all their kits. That's kind of cool having this big kit launch drop. It's kind of exciting, including Canada's new kit. Have you all, before we get into it, have you all seen it? I'm assuming you have.
No.
He's looking now.
Oh, okay. So Craig hasn't. Jimmy, have you seen it?
Yes, I have.
Okay. JC, have you seen it? Nope. Okay. JC's... feverishly.
Yes, I have.
He has now.
I sent the red in the dark web.
Yeah. It's red and white. I am a fan of both,
surprise.
Particularly the white. Mm-hmm. I know Dubs has some concerns with the red.
Yes.
I'd like to know why.
I like the collar. I like kind of the texture or the fabric of the kit. I'm not a big fan of the two-tone, like the sleeves and the main part of the kit, like the trunk, being different tones. And I really do not like how big the crest is centrally and then the Nike crest above it. I don't like it. But I really do like the white one.
Did you see how Nike kind of sold the Nike crest being central above the crest? They're saying it's a throwback to Canada shirts. Oh, that's why you're doing it, is it, Nike? Thanks. That's
they called
reason.
It something else. They called it like street logo, or they called it something to do with...
Yeah.
And I'm like, really? Are you just saying that? Is that
it? Didn't
really
bother me though. I liked it. I like the crest being central. I've always liked central crests.
It's too big though. It seems disproportionate.
No. Oh, the Nike or the Canada Soccer?
The Nike, but also the Canada Soccer. I get that you can make it a little bit more kind of obvious and prominent because it's central versus kind of being on the breast one side or the other. But it just seems like it's a little bit too big.
Mm-hmm. So the white
they're
one,
new kits though. Like
I'm, yeah,
that's great.
The white one, just for those who haven't seen, the white one has these vertical stripes, which are like thin stripes, and the logos across on the heart on that one, more conventional, with the Nike swoosh on the other side. Whereas in the red, it's all centralized. Jimmy, what are your thoughts on these shirts?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like the red one. I haven't seen the white one. But I don't like the red one.
Yeah.
Well, look at the white one as well.
Nothing about it that I like. I don't like that two-tone. I don't like the Nike swoosh. There's nothing that I like about this kit.
I think it's sharp.
You like it? The red kit?
I do. You think it's sharp? I do.
This one that I'm looking at right now, you think that's sharp?
Yeah.
Oh, come
that's
on.
That's the one. Come on. I'm an opinion.
I don't think there's a lot of effort that went into that one.
I also have concerns about the white one's nice. I love the white one. The white one is everything that they kind of you know, talked about it being like a throwback. It does look like a throwback kit. I wish kind of like the Canada lettering that's on the inside of the kit, like at the back. I wish that was on the kit somewhere outside.
What's the throwback? Where's the throwback?
Yeah, we used to have Canada written right across.
The Canada inside the collar. That's a throwback.
Yeah.
But the rest, we've never had a kit like that with pinstripes.
The collar looks like it's unfinished.
It does, doesn't it?
No, it's kind of a swishy, kind of a sashy kind of feel to it.
But why do we have, why the two-tone? Why that maroon color?
Yeah, I don't like that at all. Have you also seen the whole thing with the shorts? And I don't know if it's like a mock-up or this is what the shorts are going to look like. But you know how France and some of the other Nike kits in the Women's World Cup, I also think in Qatar, had kind of, if you looked at the shorts sideways or a player's profile, they had like a slightly different color or tone kind of going down the outside of the thigh. The Canada shorts have that, but it looks busier. And I really do not like that. So instead of making it better, kind of pairing it with the shorts and seeing the full look, I think it's even worse with the shorts.
I don't like it.
If you win, you look good in anything.
Yeah, but compared to Jimmy, and I know this is kind of like throwing salt in the wound because you're a very bitter man when you talk about the women's red kit with like the black kind of maple leaves in it. Like they're absolutely like they're really stunning kit. Like this looks even worse if you compare the two, don't you think?
I don't like it. I love the all black kit and I love that women's kit.
Yeah.
Those are my two favorite kits.
Doesn't really matter though.
Nike are giving squat. They're giving squat to the CSA.
Yeah.
Nothing to the CSA.
Nothing. They've made that kit. Here, take that. Just go, guys. Leave us alone. No effort.
I think you're already angry. On a Monday morning. I think if this is dropped on a Wednesday morning, I think you have very different opinions.
No,
I won't. I don't like that red kit.
Equally as cross about your shorn face, Sharms.
I'm sorry about that. I promise you by Wednesday, I'll be a little bit less shorn. Okay, I don't like my face either.
Wonger's back, the crazy scientist.
Let's find out Wonger's observations on the new kits. Before you find out our thoughts, Wonger, do you like the new kits or do you prefer one over the other?
I didn't see them.
He hasn't had time to have a look.
JC, can you pop it up again?
Pop what up?
The kits.
I don't know what you mean. Sorry.
I saw the tease, which got me less than flaccid. And I don't know. They looked like it was like the old logo, right?
Well, yeah, the logo's not changing.
On the inside. See, that's what I'm talking about, you guys. Down the side of the shorts. Not good, right?
Yeah. I don't mind the stripes.
I don't mind
those legs, though. Yowza.
They are great legs, aren't they? That's probably an AI-created athlete.
You know what? They're better than they were. How about that? They're an improvement.
Thank you.
Of the black kit, though? Like Jimmy just brought
the black
up?
Kit's different.
I love the black kit.
There might still be a black kit.
Part of this?
There'll be a third kit at some point dropped, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love the black.
You all agree that's amazing.
I like the pinstripes on the white, to be honest.
I do too.
Me too. Especially for someone that needs vertical stripes to make himself look thinner. I'm a big fan of the vertical stripes.
And taller.
Yeah, and taller. Yeah. I actually put on Twitter that I might even squeeze my middle-aged dad bod into that white shirt.
You keep knocking your bod. You got to have a good bod.
Oh, stop it, Doves.
You do.
But no, it's possible in baggy clothes, and I'll go with that. That's fair enough.
In a suit. You look great in a suit.
I haven't worn a suit for a while.
I know, but those pictures from Sportsnet that we used for the last 5 years.
Yeah, but I left. That was 5 years ago.
You should go. We should do a suit try on from 5 years ago.
We should actually. Yeah. Anyway, back to we're allowed our own personal opinions, right? That's the beauty of such things. I actually quite like both kits, the white in particular, and I will accept and appreciate your incorrect opinions too. Okay? Let's go with that. All right. And like I said, does it really matter in the end? Like Craig said, they play good football, get some results. People are going to love those kits. It's what they symbolize. They symbolize, a Copa America championship. They're going to love those kits, aren't they?
Yeah. Are they $200 as well?
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, I bet they will be. I'm sure they will be. And listen, people are going to be hammering Canada Soccer for that, right? That ain't Canada Soccer's fault. Every kit. Yeah,
but like every pairing kit. The kit with results, I don't disagree with that because that makes them take off. It gives them more meaning. But it's a chance, again, where I miss chance to capitalize on a lot of these stars and like to cross over into pop culture, like to get like artists or rappers or whomever, celebrities wearing kit. You make really good kit and then the appeal is there. Yeah, the results gets them to wear it, but if you wear it, you just drop like a really sick jersey. Everybody wants to wear it regardless of your performance. And I feel like they kind of missed the mark on that.
That's interesting. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, they're talking about all these new, being innovative with the way that they're getting their messages out there, like controlling the narrative. Paolo Senra talked about like these YouTube series and things like that, right? Where they're giving everybody like this inside look into both teams. And so, and hoping to gain more of a foothold, I think, in that space. And this is another sort of area where they could have done it. And I'm not saying that they cocked it up, but like they could have been so much better.
I don't know. I'm kind of like Sharms. I'm like, everyone has their own opinion. Someone might love that red kit. People might love it. And then they judge how Dubs dresses on this podcast and goes, I don't agree with her. Look how she's dressed.
Yeah, she wore that green dress.
Look at all of you guys. Why like a grade nine high school girl?
Because you're the one who doesn't like them.
What was that?
In fairness, notice Jimmy, but we always make fun of Jimmy's V-necks.
Yeah.
Right? So we shouldn't really care about his opinion. And you do wear that green dress on TSN once.
No, she wore the husband beater t-shirt on PSN.
That's what it was, yeah. So, where's the
we know that look.
Now we'll find out. Listen, we know social media will be going crazy today regarding that hit. So people will love them and hate them, and there'll be no middle ground at all, right? Because you can't have middle ground, right? You can't. No. It's love or it's hate.
Did anyone love them? Was
I love the white one. I do love the white one. And I quite like the red one.
Okay. Jimmy didn't love anything?
No. No.
Dubs, did you love anything?
I really like the white. I'm not a fan.
You didn't love it. You didn't love it, though. You didn't go.
No, I'll say no. No, okay. I really do. I quite like it. And to Jimmy's point earlier about like what makes it a throwback, I think there's the lettering, but it's inside. It's not a throwback to any previous Canada kits, but it's a throwback to a certain era. So I like that, and I really do like the pinstripes.
Don't call it a throwback.
I've been here for years.
Mm-hmm. What about Craig? Craig, I mean, you commented as far as people don't really give a shit unless they win. But personally, as someone that wouldn't have worn one of these shirts, you would have worn a green one. Do you like them?
I haven't seen the goalkeeper one yet.
No, I'm going to say, they haven't released that, have they?
Nobody cares about the goalkeepers.
Oh, here it goes.
You don't see too many goalkeeper shirts wandering around the streets, do you?
Jeez.
Poor goalkeeper. A fucking lonely, lonely world.
Yeah.
Do you know, considering that they only have to make one or two goalkeeping kits, like, why don't they ask the goalkeeper, what do you want to wear? Wouldn't that be nice if they asked you?
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Let's just take the goalkeepers and we'll design it for you. So you feel a part of the team rather than them just giving you shit.
Yeah. And if it's a shit one, then you can blame the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I bet you Edison or Allison get asked. Don't you think? They're not just giving a kit.
I wonder.
Forrest, if Nike called you and said, hey, we're designing a goalkeeper kit, what color would you like? What would you go with?
Oh. I don't know. Maybe a little bit of yellow, a little yellow one.
Really? Yellow. Yellows?
Like a bright yellow? Like a fluorescent?
Yeah.
Like Lloris used to wear. Lloris often wore the yellows, right, didn't he?
That's right.
Or would you go like a Jorge Campos?
Oh, that's a little too much.
Yeah.
He looked should a goalie be like really like so you know the goalie's there, right? Or should he merge in more? What do you think, Craig, ideally for you? you should be pretty obvious he's the goalkeeper, right? Hence why they wear different color shirts. But some of the shirts are so like busy, they kind of mold in with the fans behind and the grass.
Yeah. Well, they're not supposed to be anything like the out shirts.
I would have a big, like, round target.
Distinguish.
So if you had yellow jersey, and if you could design your own gloves, what color gloves would you wear with the yellow jersey?
Ooh. Jesus. What goes with yellow? How about a dark blue? A little dark blue.
Dark blue glove?
Yeah.
Oh. That's nice.
What if you went with rhinestone like Michael Jackson gloves?
Just one.
Yeah, just one glove. I wonder, though, if there's any rhyme or reason to it from a design standpoint. Like, if Canada's got red and white, does that then dictate a certain number of colors that you choose from for the goalkeeping kit, or does it not matter?
I don't think it matters.
Camouflage. You should go with camouflage.
Yeah.
Maybe we should ask Kevin Blue this on today's media availability. Forget labor disputes, coaches, you know, World Cups. Forget that. Let's talk about kits and colors, color schemes.
And how we got this deal with Nike where Canada got nothing. The only country out of 48 in 2026 that's going to get nothing. That's a good deal, isn't it?
Well, didn't it cost Canada money, though, in fairness? So that's an improvement.
Oh, God. They did some deals, man. Like, they signed a deal with Adidas where they literally were like, oh, we'll give you boots and we'll give you $5,000. Well, $5,000 what, per player? No, just $5,000. That was a deal. Yeah,
times have changed. They've been kind of screwed over in that regard. I don't know, maybe they're going to rework the – what will get we rework first, the Nike deal or the CSB deal? That's the question. What will be modernized first, the Nike deal or the – I don't know. And we'll ask all these questions, I'm sure, later today, because Wong are saying we're going to have a special little Reacts video pod. Can't call it VOD, apparently, because it upsets Dubs. But that's exactly what it is. One is on delay. Isn't he?
No, I don't think so.
He's not responding.
He's just not very responsive this morning.
There's a lot going on over here.
His senses are still dulled by the McDonald's yesterday, I think.
No, it's that. It's the specter of my colonoscopy tomorrow. I have all these preparations, so I have to do that ped light drink or whatever it's called. I've got to fast all day. I have to, I'm going to get blood tests today because I am fasting. So there's all these things I have to do. And, I want to make sure I bring my A game to Kevin Blue and the 2 o'clock. So I'm researching him. I've delved deep. Did you guys know he
once deep started, on before
he once started Melrose Place? He was an actor, and even before that, I'm just making this shit up.
You don't say.
So just to confirm, the colonoscopy is up the ass, right?
Yeah, way to go, Charms. Way to go, Dr. Charms.
Yeah, no, because the other one is called the what? The
fucking Doogie Howser over there.
What's one down the throat? What's that one called? The camera down the throat.
I don't know. The gag?
No, it's another oscopy, but it's
yeah.
Yeah, just confirm. Well,
like
sorry.
A tiny camera is a laparoscopy.
Endoscopy. Upper endoscopy is down the throat, esophagus.
So you think endoscopy should be up the arse, shouldn't it?
Yeah, actually it should.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, just people might want to know that. So anyway, let's move on to some more football talk, shall we? FA Cup this weekend.
What a weekend for FA Cup.
That's shit weekend for FA Cup. Fucking hell. We want to start with that game? United beating Liverpool 4-3?
Not really.
Yeah, let's look at the big picture. We're not biased. The weekend was a great FA Cup weekend.
It really was, actually. It was incredible. Yeah. It felt proper big time games, didn't it? Right, Wembley on the horizon for these guys, and that United game, Liverpool. I mean, it was such a strange game. United starting off so well, then back came Liverpool in the second half with brilliant. United stole at the end, then extra time. Liverpool looked exhausted. I thought mentally, making some real mistakes, but then United won it. Craig, and honestly, good for them. Right, they need some good news, some feel good vibes, and my God. Old Trafford was rocking yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for them. You're as good as your last game in football. It was a classic, really. It was the first time Klopp said that he thought that his side had actually struggled, which is quite interesting. They got a lot of football to play, though. Busy, busy squad, which would have affected them a little bit, I think, too.
Did you see his little go-to with the, I think, Danish reporter? Yeah, about the fitness and the Danish reporter saying, basically too many games. And Klopp got really snickety about it and basically stormed off and then said to him in his caught on camera saying, well, obviously you're not in good shape. Basically, what do you know? It's like the bad Klopp, and there is a bad Klopp I don't like. It's when he can't handle probing questions. Sorry, back to the colonoscopy there. But he went way too far there, just answer the questions. It was valid. He said his team struggled and they did look tired, Dubs, and fair enough, perhaps, given the amount of football they played.
Yeah, they did look tired, and obviously they shift their focus to the Premier League and to Europa League and try to pick up some trophies there, which they can do. But what's troubling to me, and to Forrest's point about Klopp pointing out, like watching his team struggle, was not the fatigue, whether it was mental or physical, but was the big chances that they were conceding. That is troubling to me. And also, I think credit to Ten Hag, I think that Rashford and McTominay, like they have developed now a really, really nice chemistry, a nice connection. But the fact that they were targeting Joe Gomez and Kwanzaa and really probing again on that left side of the pitch and had a lot of success. And the last time that they attacked, I think so purposefully on the left and Garnacho kind of drifting over from the right was when they beat, sorry, Forest, West Ham 5-0. So they've had success doing that. And Liverpool again just looked quite leaky and they were unable to fix it. But mental errors with like giveaways like Nunez on that giveaway or off of the corner where Harvey Elliott concedes and they go back the other way and that's Salah with the winner. So I think looking forward, they have to rectify that because otherwise you're not going to win any more trophies. Wrecked
him. Sorry, Wonger again.
Damn near killed him.
It's one of those games because I thought like Van Dijk, a defender, was absolutely brilliant in that game. Yet it was defensive lapses that cost the team in the end. It's a strange one, wasn't it? It wasn't for his effort. It was definitely, like you said, Gomez had some issues there. And Kwanzaa's a young guy. He's going to learn. He looks pretty great, ball his feet in particular, right? Jimmy, do you see this game?
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it. I thought at times Liverpool controlled the game, dominated it. It was silly mistakes, individual errors that cost Liverpool. Even the last one when they got caught on the counter is from a corner, their corner. And Man U goes the opposite ways and scores, which means that they weren't organized. They weren't set up. And I think at times, and I was sitting with my brother and I think I texted you guys as well. And I was laughing my ass off because my brother actually, who was a Man United fan, was like, are we playing a man down right now? Like Liverpool was just controlling it, dominating. There was times where Man U couldn't even get out of their own half. They were struggling big time. And for Liverpool to end up losing that match when I thought they were in control at times at Old Trafford was surprising. And I'm not a fan of either team. I just love football. But I thought Liverpool should have got more out of that match than what they did. They let Man United back into that game.
Yeah, it's the game management aspect. I think that's also troubling. It's the conceding the big chances. But it's also you should be a team right now that's seasoned enough that understands the game and the ebbs and the flows to be able to see it out and to make the right decisions in those critical moments. And they didn't do that.
Yeah.
So from Klopp's perspective, I understand his frustration.
That's what it was.
A 5-on-2 break. Was it in extra time or was it end of the game? The 5-on-2 break. And it was Gakpo, just fucking terrible pass. Slowed everything down and they allowed United to get back and defend. But 5-on-2 and Klopp was going nuts on the sidelines. That's what you got to put away. The forwards did not play well in that game. No. Simple as that, right?
Well, Nunez gave one away too, right, Charms? Nunez gave one started. Like I was like, that is horrible. What are you doing, man?
Two giveaways. Elliot and Nunez both led to goals. Mm-hmm. But again, Rashford probably should have scored a hat trick in that one. as well, right? It's one of those games. Both teams should have won it inside 90 minutes, given what happened, right?
Well, Rashford, what was it, 92nd minute, just before going into extra time?
Yeah.
Now he's missed the whole goal. From what? What was he, 9 yards out? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that should have gone in. But the most frustrating goal for me that Liverpool conceded weren't the ones that we just mentioned on, like, off of the corner, on the counterattack, or even the Nunez giveaway. It was the one where they were organized. They were in the box. It was Antony's goal. Everybody's right there. You have 3 and 4 players around the ball. Just deal with it. And they were unable to apply that pressure that you need in the box where you don't let anybody get a shot off. And they did. And that went right in the back of the net. Fucking Antony, right? Like,
of all people, God damn it. Crazy. I was so angry. Oh, yeah. I was angry. I mean, that's bad enough, you know, conceding goals then. But for it to be Antony, mm-hmm. that little step over big time Charlie.
God, he drives me nuts.
Oh.
And that Fernandez. I cannot stand him. Hate him.
Do you think, though, United, you guys have played football before, apparently, once upon a time? Like, can they build on this? I mean, is that a thing, Craig, in really in football, like that kind of result you can build on? Or is it, have we seen enough from this team that we know that they're probably not going to take too much from this result?
Yeah. Well, they've been inconsistent. And you have to put it into this, too, that this was a massive match for Manchester United. As you know, it's not quite, it wasn't quite as big for Liverpool. But Man United, really, this is like a really big opportunity for them. And sometimes that's enough just to get a little bit of an edge on your opponent who've got other things to worry about, like league titles.
Yeah.
It's good. And despite all the criticism, they remain in sixth, right? Like, they continue despite poor performances and all the criticism and, like, you know, for Ten Hag, for his leadership and his managing, but also the guys who are in the 11 or just the greater team, they are still hanging around.
Well, look, so maybe Spurs, this is losing this weekend.
Over the line. Yeah.
Spurs lost this weekend, right?
Yep.
Yep.
My Tony Bett pick.
Yep. And look at Villa as well. Like, the table right now, like, that is up for grabs, right? So 47 points. They're 6 back of Spurs still in fifth, right? So it's going to be a climb for them, obviously, but it's not impossible. A couple of wins going their way, and they're right in contention for Champions League football again. So. And that would, I think, would probably save Ten Hag, I would think, for the time being, for next season. At least a starter, anyway. Maybe a short leash, but I don't know. It's something. It was some match, though. Listen, if you can remove the blinders of being a Liverpool fan, it was some match, right? As a neutral, I'm sure. Craig and Jimmy, you loved it. It really was back-to-back. You know, it was brilliant. Chelsea beat Leicester 4-2. Yeah. That was a fun one too. Up 2-0. Back come Leicester, the 2-2 in the second half with and some great goals in this one. Was it Mavadidis, Worldie to make it 2-2? What a goal that was. Then Chumbawamba, he wins it. I'm not going to try and pronounce it. And in fairness, I watched Gary Lineker post-match and he didn't even try either to pronounce his name.
I think he's a weaker player. Manu Eke, who got the winner for Chelsea?
Chumbawamba.
Well, when you get knocked down, you better get back up again.
I will learn his name because he's going to be a really good player, I think, actually.
Yeah.
No,
but that match was... Okay. Maybe I'm thinking about the fourth goal.
I was thinking about the first Chelsea or the first Leicester goal. That was a beauty.
You mean the De Sassi own goal?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Christ.
Unbelievable. I was watching that. I was working out in the garage, and I was like, what is happening? So it was like great pressure from the front runner, right, who kind of like pushes him on, and it almost speeds it up, and he smashes it into his own goal. But what's Gusto doing? And the commentators didn't talk about that. Why are you throwing it back to your center back under pressure like that? And it's not discussed. Like, that was just a brain fart, I think, on his part. But it was hilarious because at Stamford Bridge, anytime they were passing it around the back after that, the supporters were yelling, shoot!
What was Sanchez doing too, Craig? As a goalkeeper, where was Sanchez where he was?
Well, he's making an angle. You see guys goalkeepers do it all the time now, especially making an angle. that he wasn't aware of where he was at all. And that let, I mean, at that point, Chelsea were cruising. And then Leicester got
2-0 up at halftime.
Right, yeah, got right back into it and put them under some pressure. Did you see Raheem Sterling's free kick?
I feel so badly for Sterling.
Well, he missed a penalty as well in the first half, right? Took it from Cole Palmer, who hasn't missed a penalty yet.
Yeah.
And he got booed. Like, he was booed. I always feel bad for Raheem Sterling. I got a bit of a soft spot, even though he fucked over Liverpool when he was 17 years of age. Yeah, real bad game.
Yeah. That free kick was...
still going. It's still going. 20
feet high, 40 feet wide, down King Street, King's Road.
Well out of the stadium.
It's catching up to Bale's right now in the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great race.
Floating down the Thames.
Do you think that Pochettino is protecting him a little bit with regards to Sterling by leaving him on? So he doesn't get razzed by the fans a little bit?
No, he was taken off. He was taken off.
But, I mean, he goes with – is it Modric that he takes off instead of Sterling?
Modric.
Not Modric. The other striker with the blonde hair.
Oh, Mudrik.
Mudrik. Yeah, excuse me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he takes him off. He thinks it should be Sterling. I think he's protecting him a little bit because he would have really heard it from the fans.
But he was taken off later, though, right?
And yeah.
They did boo him.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think you're right, Dubs. The initial one was trying to save him a little bit.
You think he wanted to take him off? Ideally, he would have taken him off at that point.
Because
Mudrik
was
showing some stuff at that point. He looked pretty decent, right?
Yeah.
He scored, didn't he? So you take off Sterling and then the sub comes on and scores? That doesn't look good for Sterling, does it?
No.
But Chelsea's Cole Palmer is ridiculous. That little flick. And this, I mean, the guy, he doesn't even look. He looks like he should be, you know, riding his bicycle to the local college, right? Like, it's funny how talented that kid is. Does he make the English team?
He's in the squad now. He got called up the second time. Yeah. Now, is he in the team? I wouldn't think so. But what a great option! They're so strong in that kind of position, right? In that forward attacking position. There's so many good players. I hope he makes it, though, because he's fun to watch, isn't he?
Yeah.
Very.
And he's so young.
But that little flick, though, it was really clever. And Sharms, you mentioned that it fits on the SAF spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Sexy as fuck?
Yes.
It's right up there.
SAF? Yeah.
Poch's pants, his tights. I don't want to see his Pochettino's when he's sitting on his seat on the sideline. That's at one end of the SAF spectrum. And then that lovely little touch and flick on by Palmer is on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Was it Pochettino hanging out?
That needs a flick.
He had the big puffer jacket on, so it did kind of cover that region. But it's a very important topic, I think, to discuss is should a manager wear tights as if he's going to jump on the pitch at any time?
No.
No. You want a little bit of backiness in there, right?
Yeah. A little bit left to the imagination, I think, would be good. Maybe Rob Edwards, I'd allow it.
But sure.
I don't want to see his Pochettino's. I really don't want to.
Well, let me ask Jimmy. Jimmy, when you coached York, you dressed for the occasion, right? You look good. I don't know if we had a stylist or not, but you look pretty good out there. Now you're coaching the provincial U17s. Are you a tracksuit coach now? Have you evolved your dress, or are you still very much going to get when you do coach a match day for the provincial?
I like tiger tight charms. I like tiger tight.
The suits or tracksuits?
Pants just tight, bollock tight. Just
that's not healthy.
Tight. Why?
Because your ball shouldn't be tight to your body. They need to cool down.
That's why they're outside the body, forest, right?
I think.
Yeah, but I don't wear boxers, so they're cool, but just tight.
No, I just feel badly for the kit man.
Yeah, feel badly for his balls.
It's a lot of washing.
But it will be track pants. So I would wear track pants with the provincial team, but with the pros, I like to dress smart. I like to look good.
Why the difference though between the provincials and the?
Well,
the
I just pros? Think you know if you're when you. You're working, you're on the job, and if you look sharp and you're setting a standard I think, at times. And I think if you just wear a tracksuit and I don't know, it's not really too professional.
Did you have your players show up in suits, or were they allowed to come in tracksuits?
The first year we had them dress up in suits, so they had to look sharp. You could wear whatever you want. What's that?
The second year you said, fuck it.
No, because we had suits the first year, and the second year we had COVID, so they had to wear tracksuits.
Oh,
and then when we got back into the swing of things, then it was looked sharp.
Sorry, why did COVID dictate what they're wearing to get to the stadium?
Well, because we traveled with you can only travel with so much, so we couldn't travel with suits and all that kind of stuff, right?
Okay.
So we just had all our tracksuit and gear, just all branded stuff, really, just wearing around the hotel all the time. Because you couldn't go anywhere, so there's no point in bringing jeans and t-shirts and all that stuff.
Because the island.
I do like when the players get dressed up when they come to matches.
Do you think it really sets them? Work. You think it sets the mindset is if you're dressed up,
it looks sharp,
more than a tracksuit.
Yeah,
really.
I think it's trending towards more casual, though, right? Like speaking of spectrums, like if guys want to dress up, great. But if you want to go casual, but you know, like your pregame fit, like it's a thing now, right? On social media, whether you're a woman athlete or a male athlete, like showing up with like your little toiletry bag and or your purse or whatever it is, and like what you're wearing, like that's all over social media. Like it's a thing, but I feel like more and more everything is accepted. Like however you interpret kind of that pregame fit is whether it's a suit or whether it's a track suit, but it's something you've paid attention to. I think people are leaving it up to the players to make that choice, which I think is good.
Yeah. But like when I was at Nottingham, we have to wear a suit to matches. Every match you wore a suit coming into the stadium.
I didn't mind it. I didn't really like it away from home because you got to take a suit carrier with you and you're you're putting a tie and a suit on and you go to the game. It's just a pain in the ass. I felt that if you had really nice track suits, it was more comfortable. And I liked it a lot more. At home, fine. In suits, it was great.
Before we go to commercial, would you have to leave the game in a suit as well?
Yeah. Like your home games? Yeah.
What else are you going to leave in?
Well, then you get freaking underwear provided for you. I thought they'd at least have some trackies for you, you know?
Not Jimmy.
No, not Jimmy. It's like, okay, man, you keep the white fronts over there. It won't be you needing them. Thank you very much.
The B in JB and all his kids stands for balls.
Yeah. Balls.
Jimmy Balls.
Jimmy Balls. Jimmy Stye and Jimmy Balls. This is mob names.
Rhonda, we've got something going on here.
Jimmy Balls.
Right, on that, let's go to a quick break.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
We're back from the quick break. All right. I always find the tracky suit, the tracksuit coaching thing interesting, because Klopp wears tracksuit, works for him, right? Pep does whatever he wants. Wear some weird things sometimes, doesn't he? But it works.
He usually wears
obviously.
Like the big, like the ribbed turtleneck, right? To me, when I think about Pep, I think about a turtleneck.
He has done that in the past. Turtleneck. Yeah.
Ribbed. Ron Burgundy when I think of a turtleneck.
More for her pleasure, right?
Oh boy.
Apparently.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, so they say.
Forest.
Pepper also wears those weird kind of like tracky tops, like just like the design are probably worth thousands of dollars. But he's like, he doesn't really give a shit. Just found it in this closet, threw it on in the morning. That'll do today. I'm Pep Guardiola. I'll wear what the hell I want. That's what he does. What are you, Dubs? I mean, if you're coaching, would you be a tracky coach or would you wear a ball gown?
There's no in between.
Imagine that. I'd love to see that. Women's Super League. Fully done up.
Like a black cocktail dress for Dubs.
Yeah, there you go. With some heels.
You know?
Yeah, and heels. Like some deep lunges on the sideline. Yeah. Trying to like trap the ball as it comes up, comes off the pitch.
Her heels just getting stuck in the turf.
No, I think I'd be like, you know, casual, like wear a nice, more like jeans and some nice runners and maybe a blazer or a sweater or something.
Mm.
Something like that, kind of in between, not super dressy, but not tracky, but kind of in between.
Yeah.
It changes right from sport to sport, right? Because hockey, they wear suits. In football, American football, it's always track suits, right? Or a golf shirt, maybe.
Coaches?
Yeah, coaches, yeah.
Listen, baseball, because I hate baseball.
That's ridiculous.
But how do you wear the same uniform as the players?
Yeah. And a number.
Imagine our sport, like standing there with your full-on kit, jersey, shorts, and socks pulled up.
God hanging out.
It's stupid. Of all the changes they're making in baseball, you know, pitch clocks, these kind of things, right? They got to change that. All I can think of is Sparky Anderson, who coached the Detroit Tigers for years. He was so old. He's like 80 years old, skinny little guy, and he wear these fucking baggy baseball clothes. Absolutely ridiculous. You don't need it. You're not going to play. It's like wearing football boots, cleats on the sidelines, right? Some managers wear those. Yeah. Why? You're not going to get out there and play unless your name's Kenny Dalglish in 1986. It ain't going to happen.
You want to run down the sideline and slide on your knees.
Well, there's that, I suppose. But Jose Mourinho did that with the suit shoes on, with the Italian loafers, and he still did it.
Yes, he did.
Better than most, in fact. I don't know. I find that interesting. So Coventry beat Wolves. That was a surprise there as well. And
good old
City beat Newcastle. 2-0. Yeah, so we've got the semi-finals matchups are City against Chelsea. Interesting. And Coventry United. Mm. Interesting. I like having one team from a lower division. It all adds something, I think, to the spectacle at Wembley for those semi-finals. Although I still prefer the neutral ground semi-finals, but they've got to pay for Wembley somehow, I suppose, right? That's why.
Has it always been that way? Or like the last few years?
The
semifinals
years, yeah.
Are at Wembley as well?
Yeah. Yeah. It used to always be a neutral ground, but mm-hmm. a football ground somewhere.
Like Hillsborough is a popular one.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Where was that?
Just to where it was located, really.
Hmm.
Big Yorkshire. Stadium, too. Big stadium.
Mm-hmm. That's probably why.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the FA Cup, I don't know. To me, it had its magic back. It has been the last few years, actually. I think it's getting... It feels like it's gathering momentum once again. So potentially we could be seeing a Manc derby in the final, which would be pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Do you want to see a low division team?
Coventry.
Do you want to see?
Have a go. They'll have a real go the way they've been playing.
Do you want to see a low division team in the final, though, Craig? Does that add something? Or is that you do, eh?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I do. Why not? That's what it's all about.
It'd be fun to see them beat United as well.
I love it.
That would be really a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it could quite possibly happen. It's United. We just don't know what to expect from that team. Mm-hmm. No idea.
Yeah, just looking at Coventry, though, they're like eight. They're not even close to promotion in the championship, eh? They're eighth. No. So they're really outside the bubble here of it's not even, you know, it would be like, my God. That's a pretty big upset if they get past everything and get into the semi or finals.
How close are they to
putting everything into this?
They're not. They're 57 points.
What's sixth?
Sixth is 61. So not bad, but that's playoffs. But I'm talking promotion. It's 73. It's Southampton. And they're in fourth. And they'll play off against Ipswich right now, I guess, is the conversation. Right.
So Coventry have a chance, outside chance at playoffs, I guess.
Well, still a few games left in that season, so we'll wait and see. I mentioned Spurs. They fell to Fulham 3-0. Sonny post-match saying, losing that game, I think, is unacceptable. As a player, we should take responsibility. We were soft. Call his team soft. Yes, we know, Wonga. You got a Sonny card there.
I can't look at this guy anymore, this player.
Since the incident last week with Wonga?
Yeah. It just really threw me off.
It's a shame, isn't it? Don't encourage him.
It's stuck to his wall. Look, it's stuck. It's not hanging up on the wall. It's stuck.
I'd like to apologize to everyone for Friday's comments. I made that whole story up.
Oh. Was it some backlash?
Oh, shit.
I might shock a few.
Sounds like there was some frontlash.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to last week's podcast, don't.
Don't. You'll view Spurs differently.
Yeah, there's a bar we've been perilously close to many occasions. It's quite low. On that particular occasion, we were looking up at it.
Yeah.
We'll say we. We wasn't we. We shouldn't say we. One member of the crew who may or may not be called Daniel Joseph Wong.
Yeah. Make me wear this. You guys inspire me to be this bad.
I want to get some MLS. So we've got our MLS three question pods coming up later this week, of course. So we're going to get to them all. Vancouver, of course, the one winner. They beat Dallas 3-1. Three first half goals from Vancouver are playing really well right now. But we've got to talk about this Montreal game. Dubs against Chicago. Yeah. Looking great. Up 2-0. Kokoro.
Kokoro.
Two goals. Good looking name. Great. They're rolling. And then Chicago score what seems to most of us to look like a blatant offside goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then later in the game, at the death, literally at the death, this crazy, crazy goal. Was it Acosta? And the wind must have just grabbed it. And it comes over. Craig's boy, C. Roar.
There you go, Flores.
Nice. Then, where do you want to start with this one, Dubs? I mean, it was insane.
Yeah, it really was. The officiating was quite poor, and Montreal didn't see the game out properly. I mean, Edwards picks up that red card in the 83rd minute or 84th minute, and that really kind of turns the tide. So Chicago then, with the wind, is pressing 11v10. And they're able to claw their way back into the game. And there was a red card by, or should have been a red card, not called handball outside the box by Brady, Chicago's goalkeeper, non-call. And then Edwards getting sent off. I think you could argue that it's not really violent conduct, but I think he gets the red card. He apologizes to the team after, but that really swung things. But just, I mean, and I think 22 minutes of added time. Like, just a comical kind of string of events that end up going, you know, swinging the game in Chicago's favor. So I felt really badly for Montreal, but at the same time, you know, you're just not managing the game well as well. So I mean, yes, officiating was poor. That goal was freakish. I think on the roundup that they did on MLS season pass, it was Andrew Wiebe who said that he looked at the wind in Chicago at that time. And like, there wasn't a stronger moment of wind, even though it's the windy city. Like the wind was like blowing all over the place than it was at that moment when Acosta hit that ball that he's clearly trying to get to the corner flag, but it goes up in the air and then it clears Sirwa, and he shouldn't have been coming for that ball at all. And he was off angle on that goal. The first goal that Chicago scores that should have been called offside. And in my mind, it's not even reviewed by VAR. So it's very, very perplexing decisions by the officials. And it again calls into question, why hasn't MLS fixed this situation with the referees union. Like, why are we still using replacement refs? If you care about the quality, make sure you're bringing in the best possible officials.
Yeah. And there's some complaints out in Los Angeles after the game too. Yeah. They need to get it sorted out, but what was really pissed me off from a commentator standpoint was that they've obviously been told not to bring attention to these stand-in referees and how poor they are, but you have to call it as you see it. We could all see that it was offside. So just fucking bring it, like, just call it, like, just say that they made a mistake. They didn't look at it. They didn't bar, obviously didn't clue into what was going on. It was just a shit show. Just call it as it is. Don't try to protect the league. It's just, I hate that protection. You see that in North American sports all the time when the commentators are working for the clubs, for the leagues, and you don't get that honest commentary. That's why you see with the Premier League, you get honest commentary. They're told to do it and be honest. You're not working for the clubs. You're not working for the league specifically. And it makes for better, honest, authentic commentary, in my opinion.
Because you don't even see a replay, really, of that goal. You see it once briefly, and then it's not discussed, which is strange because you can discuss it as a talking point or as something that you see as flagrant without being critical of the officials, right? You
can do both. Co-coms mentioned it, but very briefly, and not like that's blatant because that looked to be maybe offside. That's all he said. And the play-by-play guy didn't follow up, which he should have done.
And then at halftime, they didn't talk about it again.
Yeah.
They stayed right away from it. Now, Sirwa should have stopped it. That was a poor goal to give up. We'll give him that. And then the last one as well, obviously that's on him, but I've never seen a ball react like that. I can't believe you're right. He's spreading it out. He's playing in a space in the corner flag. That's where the ball is going. And the ball just had a mind of its own. Picked up a tornado, and I could just imagine Sirwa as he was like, whoa, holy fuck, oh fuck.
He would do it in French, though. Asti, Debrouillet, Carlis.
Yes. Oh, there was a Carlis shout for sure.
Hey, Craig, what's the craziest win that you've experienced aside from hanging out at Wonga's house?
Oh, I conceded a goal. Well, I conceded a goal against Spurs. It was Jason Cundy, and it was actually a tackle. He was going in with Jason Dizel, and it was a gale force wind at Ipswich. And he smashed it, and I was at the top of the box. So I was in the right position for what was going on. And these guys come together. Jason pulls out of the tackle, and he just wellies it. And it was in the net less than a second from halfway. Boom! I knew I was beat, too.
Fake falling hammer, your hamstring, right?
We've shown that. Isn't that on YouTube somewhere? That guy, I'm pretty sure it is. It's on YouTube somewhere. We should dig it up and put it on the blog. Knee jerk reacts. We should do that. Yeah, because we discussed it before years ago, right? I think with Deitch. You mentioned Dave. Deitch won, by the way. Deitch's first game with Detroit FC.
Way to go, Deitch.
Yeah, atta boy. I didn't watch the game. I can't give much of an analysis. But he always tell us that he would be coaching a very expansive, aggressive, attacking football. We'll find out, won't we, with what he has there in Detroit.
Road trip. He's
picking up. Yeah.
They'll be hard working, at least. We know that. He'll have them working hard. Yeah. Put their balls on a platter.
Are you thinking tracksuit or suit for Deitch, having not seen any of the highlights? Anyone know?
What's the call?
I'm thinking tracksuit. No one is shaking your head.
I think Deitch he likes to dress up every once in a while.
He looks good in the suit.
He does. Tall, he's six. He's tall. Slim. Yep. He's got a good
ball. Was it a home game for Detroit?
No, you're asking too much. We'll ask the boy.
Do you think home or away that affects what he's wearing, Forrest?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know.
Too lazy to take it away.
I only know Deitch from you guys, and I'm gonna call tracksuit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he won't make it about himself.
It all depends on whether that tracksuit fits. As a tall guy, you know, nothing worse. It comes half calf.
That's right. It's capris.
Well, nowadays though, with that and a pair of loafers, no socks.
That's right, twat.
You're right, twat number one. But that is the kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's just a little bit short. That's not like just under your knee.
culottes.
Bermudas.
No, I was, even USL, they would get their suits made for them, I would think, wouldn't they? Put a deal with a local tailor in Detroit. It's known as the Suit City, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, when City. I think Detroit, I think suits.
Yeah. It's company Chevrolet.
The entire change in a suit.
Yeah.
We'll do some research, though. Cooler, let us know what Deesh is wearing, can you? And, well, but yeah, so we'll find out. And then one of these days, he'll accept an invitation back on the show, and we'll ask him his methodology around what to wear on game day. One of these days. NWSL kicked off this weekend as well, and Janine Becky came on for Sinky at halftime. Scored 2 goals. That's not a bad comeback, Dubs.
Holy shit, 366 days since her ACL injury, and comes on at halftime and scores a brace. Like, go on, Janine Becky. It's great to see. It's great for her. It's great for Portland because they still lost that game 5-4. Didn't look great. I only watched a little bit. But that's incredible. You got to think, Bev Priestman, just watching the NWSL weekend, like to kick things off this season, has got to be feeling pretty good about her squad. Well, because Bianca St. George also got a brace. Yeah, a couple of assists. Amanda Allen, Victoria Pickett, who's not in this roster, but is in kind of that wider pool. Jessie Fleming with her first assist for Thorns. Like, just everybody rolling. So looking like really rounding into form as they've got the Olympics on the horizon. So really good to see. And Lizianne Proulx, who started for Bay FC, was kind of tabbed as like that number two, but the number one, or slated to be number one, went down with an ACL injury, unfortunately. So she gets the start and she was unbelievable. And so they get there in their inaugural game, get their inaugural win. And she was like outstanding in between the sticks. Mm-hmm. She's just like right from my sister coached her when she was in high school. She's from down the street from where I live.
Are you thinking that potential future number one for Canada?
I mean, could be. I mean, just a history of Canada turning out incredible goalkeeping prospects and class and quality. So yeah, I think it'd be tough to beat Sheridan as at number one, and D'Angelo, who doesn't really have a lot of caps to her name. It's going to be hard to unseat those two, but it just speaks to our depth at the position.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Sinky starting games and coming for halftime is something we'll see a lot as opposed to not starting games and coming on late in games? It's an odd way of doing it, isn't it?
It is. It'll be interesting to see how that evolves as the season goes on. But I think where she is now with her different qualities, sort of lack of pace, I think if she's going to influence a game, it's probably that way versus is coming on as a substitute, I think. But I mean, she's still going to be utilized. But they're that, you know, it's figuring out that balance and how she fits with the other personalities on that team.
John Davis scored again. See that? Again. Yeah. Just on fire right now. You can't help. They're playing, I think, Villa, aren't they, in Europe next round? Anyone know?
Can I ask this question about John David without sounding like a prick? Maybe I can't ask it without, I know. All his goals, every time, nothing spectacular. Does that bother anybody?
What a prick.
I mean, it's one of those things where he's in the right place at the right time, but nothing is overwhelms me. And if you're a Premier League team or a La Liga team and, or, you know, finding a new, a number nine, does that stop you from really buying into John David, that he doesn't do anything spectacular, that he's just potting goals? Cause you know, when I see Harry Kane's play at Bayern and he's continuing being so great and some of these things are spectacular, I don't see that with John David. And is this stopping him from moving on?
A very good striker being at the right place, right time.
Is that it?
100%.
Okay.
That's what they get paid for.
But there is something to that, Wonger, I think, because
thank you, Craig.
He's still there.
He's got my back.
He's still there. There's obviously tons of people watching him, but they're just wondering at what cost. And is he going to be able to make that step? Like if he comes to the Premier League, there's a there's a absolute dumpster fire as far as players have come from other leagues and done very well and struggled in the Premier League. And this is the problem with, I think, where they're tangling with the likes of Jonathan David. Can he make that step up?
I think your point, though, Wonger, about him making things look pedestrian and efficient and just kind of commonplace, that's a sign of his quality and his skill. That is something we were just talking about, Sinky. That's why I think she was continually undervalued and didn't get these individual awards, because it just looked like kind of a walk in the park. It was never anything outstanding or highlight reel worthy. Sure, she did score those goals, but John David is a little bit of that, where he's just a pure finisher. And if he makes things just look kind of usual and everyday and simplifies things, that's a sign that he's just able to do that because of his high level of quality and technique.
Thank you. Those are good answers by everyone.
I think somebody will take a chance on him this summer, though. I think so. They could. Yeah. I mean, they got to.
They will. It's time now. It's been a couple of years now of scoring a lot of goals in Ligue 1. So it's time for the step up, isn't it?
And they want to cash in on him, too. They want if he's going to nail goals in like this, they're going to try to cash in.
Yeah. Still a prickish question, but got some pretty good answers out of it.
But it wouldn't be if he wasn't Canadian, right? If he was not a Canadian, everyone would go, yeah, you're right.
No, he's still prickish.
Actually, if he was Brazilian, he probably would have had a move already.
Yeah. Oh, really? Eh?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Passport killed him, right, hey, boys?
Oh, hey? Fuck the old Canadian fucking ball and chain.
In your case. All right. Hey, Tony Bett let us down again, by the way. Tony Bett let us down again. Thanks, Tony Bett.
It's Tony Bett's fault.
Yeah. Not just us, but the supporters. They picked TFC, by the way, to beat New York City. TFC, we didn't get to them. They were not good.
Community pick too, because they called Villa over West Ham and it was a draw.
Yeah, yeah. Just for those TFC fans out there, we will get to it in more depth in three questions. But first loss of the season. I should have mentioned this earlier. And we do it every year when a Canadian team plays in New York. It's a fucking disgrace, that pitch. Mm-hmm. It really is. I don't know, New York City have figured it out, and so they should. It's a home ground. They're going to move at some point to the Cube, which looks amazing, by the way. But it's ridiculous to play professional football, apparently a higher league tier league in MLS, on that pitch. How is it even allowed? Anyone can
do it. New York plays some decent stuff on it, though.
Well, that's their home ground.
They figured out like the how to play on that restricted space. Like the width to me is the most comical. Mm-hmm. You know, well, like I'm playing on a postage
stamp. In the FIFA guidelines.
Yeah.
Change the guidelines. Just barely, right?
Yeah.
So it's a legal pitch.
Mm-hmm. Because the narrowest you can play on is 60, correct? And that's 64.
And that's 10-bit soccer, isn't it? When you see the corner post and the edge of the box, and it's like Craig could lie along there and his head could touch the box and his feet could touch the corner flag.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how narrow it is.
Those corners are getting in there quickly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You know who else played like that? It was Kansas City. Kansas City played in a baseball diamond before they moved into their new stadium.
Yeah.
And the same thing, the pitch was so narrow.
I called a game there once and it was 1,000 degrees and they had us in like a little bunker. It was a little cement bunker. And me and Jerry were just, it was unbelievable. We're just peeling stuff off, taking our shoes off, trying to cool down. It was so hot. We were miles away because it was a baseball diamond. So like, I don't know where the one goal was, like miles away.
Yeah.
Just around, it was actually just across the street from their, where they are now in their stadium.
That's right. Yeah.
Jimmy,
There's a big racetrack there. I think it's the Kansas City Motor Speedway. And then there's a baseball diamond and lots of barbecue. And then the Kansas City Stadium there. Pretty nice little setup.
Can you remember, Jimmy, thinking about playing on that pitch or that field if they had a really favorable or really good home record the way that NYCFC do at Yankee Stadium?
Yeah, pretty much. They were good.
They figure it out.
Yeah, they figured it out. It's funny because you break down the line, you whip a ball in, and you were like clear in the 18-yard box.
Put it out for a throw on the other side.
What's that?
You put it out for a throw on the other side.
Clear everything. You're like, Jesus.
When we were trying to qualify in the World Cup in 93 for 94, and it came down that last game against Mexico in Toronto, Varsity Stadium, we were looking at the lines and the width of the pitch and everything else, and we decided, listen, get the groundsman. We want this as narrow as possible playing against Mexico. And we show up for the game the next day, and the pitch is actually wider. Wider. Yeah. It was just a fucking shit show.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Where did Sherman's go?
What is going on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
my computer. This is really weird. You see me now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't sound like you're on your microphone, or it sounds
odd. My battery died on my other computer. I had to unplug that one to put a battery in this computer earlier in the show. And that was that's a very old computer over there. So it's actually like 20 minutes. So I apologize. But luckily the show's come to its conclusion, its natural conclusion. So I apologize for that.
JC has a lucky likey for us.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
This is the SEF spectrum.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. We were talking about the sexy as fuck spectrum. And then if Sherms is Oliver Glasner, Jason Bateman, looky lucky from a few weeks back, that is the one end of the spectrum. This is the looky likey of all looky likies. I'm building it up, but it's good, you guys.
Fun you ever have in a night. Trust me, just do it. Just look for looky likey. Brilliant. Brilliant fun. Love looky likeys. Looky likeys over there, left. No, but the little kind of subliminal ones are the best balls. The best looky likey I've ever had. Just look for looky likey.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Who is it?
Mauricio Pochettino and Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Rudy actor and
Samwise.
Mm-hmm.
Samwise from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Oh, okay. The mouth, isn't it? It's the mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It looks good.
That looks great. Like that's a good one.
The width of the face, the jawline.
Yeah, catch all of our looky likeys on wearefootyprime.com, just so you know.
Some of them, not all of them. I'm still working on uploading them.
We're working on deleting the Oliver Glasner one.
That's actually the one I just saw.
This is not great. It's okay.
It's good.
No, it's okay.
I think it's pretty good.
Hair's nothing like it. Different color hair for starters.
No, but
it's
even under the lip.
The hair?
Yeah.
No, there's definitely a resemblance, yes.
So it's a looky likey then, Charlie.
So you would call it.
There's a resemblance. Okay.
To dismiss Glasner Bateman as you have, and then to champion this one is so off. It's so off. That's not right.
This one was particularly rewarding to me because every time I saw Pochettino, I was like, who does he look like? And I couldn't figure it out. And then the day that I figured out that it was Rudy or Sean Astin, I was like, yes. I was very pleased about it. Also, JC concurred. Strong looky likey, right?
Big time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of concurred, let's have a look at what Deitch was wearing.
Oh, beautiful.
Yes.
There he is.
Oh, yay. Wow.
And then they're wearing Colorado.
Oh, look at all that snow.
Deitch type goal as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Messy as hell in there.
Yeah.
That's great.
Probably tried to bite someone's nose.
Yeah.
Jack suit. I love it.
Yeah. Big jacket on.
he can really jacket on.
All right, that's it. FuboTV.com is one of our wonderful sponsors. You can catch a lot of football on FuboTV.com. It's an international week coming up, so we'll get to those as the week progresses. Don't forget we have our TFC 3Qs, Montreal 3Qs, Vancouver 3Qs. We have MLS Box to Box this week as well. Is there a broadcast this week, Dubs?
To be determined. Don't know yet.
TBD.
TBD. Mm-hmm. All right. So perhaps. But we're back on Wednesday. And prior to that, of course, later today on YouTube, on the Footy Prime YouTube channel, probably, I don't know, I'm going to guess round about four-ish, we should pop up there. We'll talk about Kevin Blue's first media availability, talking about all things Canadian football later today. I think it's at 2 p.m. is when that's scheduled for. So that'll be interesting. We are Footy Prime. That is the website. Please like us, subscribe to us and all our various channels. Anything else, Wonga?
No, I think you did a great job.
Well,
still waiting on our first OnlyFans follower.
But YouTube followers, we're getting closer to 1,000, mm-hmm. right? I think we're up to like 920 or something. So keep subscribing to us on YouTube as well.
I think we'll do it today with our Kevin Blue coattail riding.
Because we're not wearing pants for that pod, no. right? Right, that's pantsless. Cool.
Pantsless.
Okay. I'm going to pants on now.
Are you doing this, everyone? Bye.
Prove it, Craig.
Peace.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bat. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
That ass is getting flatter all the time.
Is it? My ass is getting flatter?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.